cut off of the olive tree. The Gentile who would accept the gospel had been grafted in. But the Gentile was not to be haughty, because the same rejection that cost the Jews could cost the Gentile, and the Gentile was to be aware that the Jew who would then accept the gospel could again be grafted in. Now that's the 11th chapter. When we come to the 12th chapter, we see the changes that this is to make in the life of a Christian, whether he be Jew or Gentile. In chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, we might just describe chapter 12 beginning as how a Christian is to live. Verse 1, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You're to live a new kind of life, transformed. Now, why was that, or why would that be so applicable to those in Rome? What trouble are they having? The relationship between Jews and Gentiles, accepting that Jews and Gentiles are to be saved by the same message, the same gospel. And so to live a transformed life, accepting each other, was certainly something that was challenging in verse 9 of this chapter. He said, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honor preferring one another." You see, the point is, whether they be Jew or Gentile, they're to treat each other right. In the 13th chapter, again, a practical application of this change that is to take place in them has to do with their relationship to civil government, their duties towards civil authority, their duties to love all men, and the motive of the hope of their salvation. Now, in the 14th chapter, on into the early verses of the 15th chapter, Jews who held certain meats as unclean, Gentiles who would not eat certain meats because they believed that it had been worshipped to an idol and therefore would compromise their faith. How were Jews and Gentiles to look upon each other regarding these matters of indifference? Were they to separate themselves from the Gentile who did not eat this particular meat? No. What about the Jew who refrained from eating this particular meat because it had been in times past considered common or unclean? Were they to be isolated? No. What about the Gentile who had never been under the law of circumcision and his attitude toward the Jew who bound circumcision? Were they to be at odds between each other because of these things? All right, if these were matters of indifference, now the Jew who bound it as a matter of faith, that certainly was unacceptable. But as a matter of past practice, as a matter of indifference, these were simply matters of conscience. Now, in the 15th chapter, continuing on into verse 14, Paul says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. But I write the more boldly unto you in some measure, as putting you again in remembrance." Now, in the this portion of the 15th chapter, we see Paul's reason for writing. There are things that these in Rome have been taught. They're not ignorant of these things, but Paul's desire is to call to their remembrance the things that they've already been taught in the remainder of the 15th chapter. Paul indicates his personal plans. Now, that includes this trip that he is to make to Jerusalem. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Chapter 15, verse 25, beginning. All right, that's right. He's telling these in Rome what his travel plans are and why. Now remember, we just talked about that, how that he went up through from Troas in Asia up into Macedonia, then down into Achaia to Corinth, where he writes the Roman epistle. And in verse 25 of Romans chapter 15, he describes the intent of his travel plans, to go to Jerusalem. It's also his desire to come from Jerusalem through Rome on his way to Spain. Now, it's his intention that when he comes through Rome, that they will provide him the provisions necessary then to travel on to Spain. Now, whether or not he ever went to Spain or not, we simply don't know. But we do know that he came to Rome. How do we know that? Where do we learn that? In the book of Acts. That's right. In the book of Acts, we know that he was arrested in Jerusalem. He had several appearances before various Roman authorities and eventually appealed his case to Rome, where he would appear before Caesar. Now, as he continues in the Roman letter, in verses 1 and 2 of the 16th chapter, we see the commendation of Phoebe and the instructions to those in Rome to receive her and to provide her the things that she needs. And then in verses 3 through verse 16, Paul's greetings to the Romans. And I find this interesting. The longest list, if memory serves me correctly, of any list where Paul sends greetings from brethren unto saints in another place. And then beginning in verse 17 through verse 20, look at your Bibles. Rather lengthy exhortation to these regarding false teachers and what they're to do when false teachers come among them. What are they to do? Pardon me? Take note to mark and avoid these folks because of the consequences that would be imposed upon them. They would lead them astray, and we've talked about the effect of false teachers in other passages such as Acts 20, beginning in verse 29, 2 Peter chapter 2, and so forth, and so the need for such warning. In chapter 16, verses 21 through 23, we see again Paul sending greetings specifically from his companions in travel, and I want to call your attention especially to verses 25 through 27. We concluded our studies last week of the context of this, where he says, "Now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which hath been kept in silence through times eternal, but now is manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all the nations unto obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." Now I hope that verses 25 through verse 27 rings somewhat of an emotional note in you, because the book concludes with glory given to God for His eternal plan that now has been revealed. Now what is His eternal plan to save? Alright, to both Jew and Gentile, what was the message? The theme of the book. The gospel is the power to save. Now, as Paul develops that theme throughout this book, you see why. Then he praises God for this message that has been revealed through the prophets, through Jesus Christ, and gives glory unto God because of that. Any question at all over the book of Romans? Now, I'm not giving you assurance that I'll be able to answer just any question you might ask, but we need to know the book. Yes? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What does that suggest about his love of his brethren, his Jewish brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh, that have rejected the gospel? What does he desire for them? To be saved. Do we see the diligence in his desire? even to the extent that if it cost him his soul, that the multitude of his kinsmen according to the flesh could be saved. Yeah.
That's hard to wrap my mind.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, while we think on that for just a moment, think about or compare that to our desire for those about us to be saved. All right. Any questions? All right. Now, I ask you to, in our last studies, both in the Ephesians class and in the Romans class, that what I want to do is to conclude our study of Romans and then study the book of Ephesians both on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night to expedite that study, because I want to get into a study of history and geography of the Bible. A number of you have expressed interest in that, and I would like for you to, I need to lay up here a sheet of paper, because we have lesson books that we're going to use in that study, and I have several in a box up here on the front, and I know that some of you have books from the last time that we went through that study, and I'm excited about that study, and I want you to be as well. If you have a book, then I don't need to give you a new book. But if you don't have a book, let me know and we can distribute some of those, and you can read through some of it and be prepared for that study.